It's 7:44 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, we'll hear from a man who some refer to as a modern-day Woody Guthrie.
It's because when you're in the face of tragedy or difficulty or conflict or a natural disaster, that's where the best in people also comes out. And that best in people usually transcends all the boundaries around between us, right? If we could amplify that, I think we really could bring our world together.
That story in just a moment. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Dr. Rahul Gupta has resigned from his post as Commissioner of Public Health for the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources. Kara Lofton reports Gupta accepted a position as Senior Vice President and Chief Medical and Health Officer at the nonprofit March of Dimes.
Gupta has been in the position of Commissioner for Public Health since 2015. Before that, he was the director of the Kanawha-Charleston Health Department. Gupta says he feels that his West Virginia work connects closely to the new position at March of Dimes.
And it really has become for me a concern about what happens to the future generation in terms of addictions, whether it's obesity, tobacco, or drugs / mental health.
He said the March of Dimes position allows him the opportunity to focus more on moms and babies and how obesity, tobacco, and drugs impact prematurity, birth defects, and infant and maternal mortality. He says that by working with moms and babies, he hopes to address the problems facing the next generation. He will be based at the National March of Dimes office in Washington, D.C. Gupta's last day is November 5th. The DHHR says they intend to do a nationwide search for his replacement. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
A West Virginia high school destroyed by floods 2 years ago is being demolished. Roxy Todd reports.
Demolition crews started tearing down Herbert Hoover High School in Kanawha County on Monday. Herbert Hoover High School is in Clendenin. The high school was destroyed by high waters during the 2016 flood that affected much of southern West Virginia. According to Brianna Warner, Communications Director for Kanawha County Schools, a new high school is expected to be completed in 2021. Herbert Hoover High School students currently attend school in portable classrooms outside Elkview Middle School. The portables are fenced in and all linked by a covered pier or decking system. The demolition and cleanup for the old high school building is expected to be completed by this fall. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Charleston.
On the latest episode of West Virginia Public Broadcasting's podcast, Us and Them, host Trey Kay speaks with musician Stefan Saeed. Saeed has been called a modern-day Woody Guthrie because he's on a quest to make music that speaks across boundaries. He's visited battle-torn cities in Iraq, refugee camps in the Mediterranean, and Houston after the city was ravaged by Hurricane Harvey. When he gets to those places, he sits down with his fiddle and guitar to play music with local folks. Saeed lives in New York, but he traces some of his musical roots to living in Monroe and Greenbrier counties.
You might have heard of Stefan. He made a little national splash back in 1997. Back then, he was known as Stefan Smith, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later. But back in 1997, he released this ballad. And you might recognize the person singing backup vocals. That's Patti Smith, the rock and roll legend. And no, they are not related.
Dragging from his holding cell, who tune one no tongue can tell.
Who ain't my fault?
All one body got a healing blow.
They're singing about Abner Louima, a Haitian man who was in the news headlines back then. He'd been brutally beaten and sexually assaulted by police in New York City.
So I've been in the hospital for a while, four policemen bound for trial.
Won't be no for one.
And near 10,000 march today, some set to fight and some to pray. All one body gotta heal and grow.
Stefan's dad is from Iraq. His mom's from Austria. But Stefan was born in Ohio, and he spent some of his teen years in Appalachia. He actually lived in Monroe and Greenbrier County in southern West Virginia, which is where my grandmother comes from. He says that he was drawn to the people in this area because they make authentic, heartfelt music that's been handed down through the generations. Stefan plays guitar, he plays the fiddle, he plays banjo, and all kinds of instruments. He says he's using his guitar and fiddle and singing to bridge divides between people. One of his current projects is a series of videos.
I'm Stefan Said, and this is Borderless, the news series about people at the front lines of change.
I host a docuseries now, which follows me around the world as I go to kind of frontline situations and meet people doing amazing things to make a better world. And, you know, guitar, fiddle in hand, and I make music wherever I go.
Yes.
From a world where people are cruel and living unequal.
These videos are beautifully shot, and they often show Stefan in crowds talking and singing with people. And frequently, there are scads of young, smiling kids climbing over him and trying to touch his guitar.
I go to these places because when you're in the face of tragedy or difficulty or conflict or a natural disaster, that's where the best in people also comes out. And that best in people usually transcends all the boundaries around between us, right? It doesn't make any difference when you're at the front lines of some hurricane or a conflict zone, what political party you're in. People got to just help each other. They got to get by, and the best people comes out often. You see the resilience that if we could amplify that, I think we really could bring our world together.
Are there some of the places that you go to where you're actually in danger?
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, you know, imagine I'm in Iraq or I'm in, if I'm in Somalia or something like that or whatever, or if in, you know, favelas or something like that in Brazil, you have to go to a place like that and you have to have, part of your crew has to be local, you know, otherwise you're just going to be a target. I've been lucky, I guess, too. Maybe the worst thing hasn't happened to me, right?
Probably if I were to go to one of these places, I'd probably have a recorder like you see in front of you, or I might bring a camera, or I might bring a video camera or something like that. But it seems like your tools are a guitar and a fiddle.
Yeah, I mean, right. Yeah, I'm not without cameras and microphones, but people are introduced to me as, hey, this artist who writes songs about changing the world, you know? So they kind of have this idea that, hey, maybe I guess that I'm a pretty straight-up person and well-intentioned and whatever.
There's a video of you with two young boys. One is kind of doing kind of like a vocal beatbox type of thing, and another person is kind of doing a bit of a hip-hop rap type of thing, and you're playing the guitar, right?
Yeah. Those were they were Syrian kids, and they were in their late teens, and one of them was from Aleppo. And the other one was from Homs. And, you know, two of the most destroyed. I mean, you look at the videos of Homs, it's basically flattened. And these are, you know, 18, 19-year-old kids. And I met them in Piraeus Port in Athens, basically camped out on the asphalt, which, you know, at its peak, it had, like, this is just the port, like literally the parking lot where the ships come in, and there were 6,000 people there. And these two young gentlemen had met there. They didn't know each other beforehand, but they were both really into hip hop. You go through a refugee camp, man. Put the microphone in front of everybody you meet, and every 10 out of 10 stories is going to blow your mind, right? And here are these kids, and he had this phenomenal rap about, like, starting in homes and what reality was for him and how he tried to speak out and been put in prison and then got out and how he fled with his family. And I was just like, dude, we gotta record this.
How quickly does that happen?
It happened in the course of about 15 minutes. As soon as he said it, as soon as I heard the song, I was like, let's go over here and sit down and I'll get out my guitar and just play something underneath it and you beatbox and we'll just lay it down. And then there it was. You know, they were so happy, and now we have a document that, yeah, It's cool.
You haven't played with him again since?
But we stay in touch. They're both friends of mine, social networks, stuff like that, and I watch everything that's up with them. And that's the amazing thing, you know. The whole concept behind Borderless is that it's real, and for me to then go back to these places and to stay in touch with these people. If I film in Houston for Hurricane Harvey or in Iraq or wherever, that let's say 8 months later, I go back there and I work with these people again, and we continue the work and deepen it in the community and spread it out, and over the course of a few years, expand basically and grow a global network of all these groups and individuals. So it's intrinsic in the idea that we build something, unlike, let's say, a typical travel show, like a food show, where they basically are in and out and that's it. It's just about the individual content, and there's no sustained communication with the community. Obviously, I'm really I'm collaborating with people in these places. I'm not just featuring them.
It's kind of magical, actually. These kids find themselves in a desperate situation living in a refugee camp. And then there's this guy with a guitar and recording equipment who reminds them they're more than just refugees. And he serves as kind of a midwife to their creativity. In the type of thing that happened between you and these two boys, or you called them young men, so maybe I should too, does that type of thing happen over and over again as you make these journeys?
We made our first full-length pilot on the refugee crisis. And I'm in about 17, 18 different settlements of informal or of formal, official camps or informal camps or in streets, parks, whatever. And I'm making music everywhere I go or meet people. Like when I was on the border of Firom, of Macedonia, northern Greece, right by Idomeni, where the biggest camp was, you know, where all the news was about. I meet these Kurdish musicians and they're masters. Like one of them is this highly respected, like local master in northern Syria. And here he's fled, and several of his students from the area in northern Syria fled with him. And they're unbelievable musicians, not like pretty good. And the footage is unbelievable. I mean, there we are, they've got the bazookis and suzz or whatever, and we're sitting on the edge of a field in dirt. And they're, you know, five of them singing in harmonies with each other over top of the drum, and it's phenomenal. Those moments happen, right? The sun is setting on the other side, behind the mountain, which is on the other side of the border, where they want to go to, and we're sitting there at the foot, and they're making just heavenly music. And I say that as somebody who's heard me, you know, all kinds of amazing music, whether or not it's in, you know, Monroe County, West Virginia, or in Pakistan, right?
Very good, very good.
We've been listening to an excerpt from WVPB's Us and Them podcast episode, Us, Music, A Conversation with Stefan Saeed. To hear the entire episode, download the Us and Them podcast from iTunes, Stitcher, NPR One, or Radio Public. You can also listen online at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.